Well, good morning. Welcome to this session of the Mesa City Council. It is our study session, and we'll be going through some agenda items this morning. The first item on the agenda is to review items about our upcoming City Council off the agenda. And the first items is page 2, items 1 through 3. 3C, thank you. Items 3D through 4A. Yes, sir. Councilmember Richens.
Just a quick comment. I was trying to find some information related to some of the liquor license applications, and it seemed like the information on there was really no narrative about what the project really was. There was a map. There was other liquor licenses in the area, but there was no project narrative. So in the future, if we could get I'm sure the applicant has some kind of project narrative about what they intend to do. Is it a bar? Is it a convenience store? It just really didn't have anything that associated with that. I had to drive over there and actually read the thing they posted on the window. So I think it would be helpful in answering questions.
You were looking for a cigar?
No, it was the other one, actually, the brass tap that I was looking at.
Like a restaurant? Or
yeah, exactly.
So. All right.
Thanks.
Good. Thank you. So that was up to 4A. Then 4B through 4D. 4E and 4F. 5A through 5G, and 6A through 6C, and 6D through 6E. Looks like there's no questions. Wonderful, thank you. Our next item on the agenda is to hear a presentation, discuss, and provide direction on the Transit Master Plan update.
Good morning, Vice Mayor Finturn, members of the Council. We've been working on the Transit Master Plan update for the last several months in conjunction with the General Plan update and the Transportation Master Plan update. So this morning we'd like to give you an update on where we are with the plan and what we're going to be taking out to the community in the next couple weeks as far as public involvement. And John is going to start by setting the stage for where we are with the general plan. I should introduce you. In addition to John Wesley, up here with me is Matthew Taunton, and Matthew's with HDR, and he is the consultant who is working with us on the plan.
Morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Vice Mayor and Council members. As Jody said, I'm going to give you a quick background on some of the things we've done on the general plan side as we're working together because of the strong connection between what we do at the general plan and the transit plan. We do expect to grow over the next 30 years. We expect about 170,000 new residents in the city, and so we've been trying to look what do we need to do as we grow to prepare the city so that we can create that recognizable self-sufficient city that we're after that attracts jobs and provides that quality living environment. As talked about before, we're working to put general back into the general plan and stay at a little bit higher level in the overall plan, provide a more flexible approach to planning and development and a more useful document. We're focusing on the three principles that we've talked about before with neighborhoods, diverse jobs, and cultural resources. We've identified where we think the major employment areas are and will be in the city, both in terms of a little bit larger scale, as indicated by the colored areas, and within those, some of them have kind of some sub-areas within them. We've also been looking at where we think the residential growth is going to occur, where we think the employment growth is going to occur, because there's a strong tie between where these occur, where we want the transit, where the transit will be, and where we want these to occur. So, again, we're trying to work the two together as we look at both ends. So the red areas on the map are the highest growth areas and goes out from there. And as you know, we've been working on a character area map as opposed to a more specific land use map to use to help guide the future development. One of the criteria that we have on here, one of the character types, is transit districts. At the place we're really working with the transit plan and where those high capacity transit areas will be primarily the bus rapid transit and the light rail, but also can be other areas that have a high degree of transit service. And so this map and location of those corridors will still evolve a little bit as they continue to work on the transit plan and we identify where those areas might be. So with that, unless there are any questions for me, I'm going to turn it back over to Jody.
So as I said, today's purpose is to share with you what we're going to take out to the community in October and November. And just to give you some points of some length and terms, when we talk about the short-term scenario, that's generally the next 5 to 10 years. We have two midterm scenarios, which are the next 10 to 20 year window, basically. And then we have two long-term scenarios, which are 20 to 30 years out in the plan. Just to kind of refresh real quickly, 11 years ago, we had, when we last updated the plan, we had 12 local transit routes, 4 expresses. We didn't have service on Sunday. We pretty much had one transfer center located at the senior center, and we didn't have light rail service. So 11 years later, we've grown to 17 local routes, 5 express routes. We have extended service hours on weekends, and some of our routes do have Sunday service. We've added 2 transit centers and 4 park and rides. Light rail service to Main Street on Main Street to Sycamore, and we're under construction with light rail service going to Mesa Drive, and in the planning phase to extend it to Gilbert Road. So we've accomplished a lot in the last 11 years. The themes of our transit master plan is to work with the general plan and develop those transit priority corridors, to connect activity centers, to as much as we can prioritize frequency over coverage to grow that system, and then to balance the local needs with the regional transit needs. As we're updating the plan, we do have a lot of opportunities that going on at the current time. The intercity commuter rail project that ADOT's doing that is looking at connecting Gateway Airport. The light rail, when we get to light rail to Gilbert Road, which way do we go? We have options there. From our bus standards, we have our priority corridors, and then working with Valley Metro is doing a project to do performance standards and measures on that. So with that, I'll turn it over to Matthew to go over the maps.
All right, good morning. So I'm going to walk you through what we have is the existing system today and then walk you through the 5 scenarios. So here's a map of the existing transit system in Mesa. As Jody mentioned, there has been major growth over the past 10, 12 years. It's pretty remarkable, actually. This map kind of shows the grid of services. The solid lines represent fixed route local bus service. And then the dashed lines represent express bus service. Now, this map shows very good coverage of Mesa, but what it doesn't show is necessarily a correlation to the frequency. So if you were to actually take that map and just identify the routes that would be termed, you know, frequent, and by frequent I mean 15-minute service or better in the peak hour, it's a much smaller list. Essentially, light rail operates at 12-minute frequencies today, terminates at Sycamore, and there are plans, obviously, it's under construction, to be extended to Mesa Drive. The link on Main Street also operates at 15-minute service, as does the Route 61 on Southern. So when we look at those frequent service routes, there's actually a correlation between those routes and then the routes that are highest performing in the city. So what this map shows is average daily boardings by route in the city of Mesa. So this is just for ridership by route within the city, not the route for the region as a whole. And as you can see here, light rail is obviously the highest performer in the system. Actually, the Sycamore Light Rail Station is the highest ridership station on the entire 20-mile Metro Light Rail line. And then in terms of local bus service, by far and away the highest performing route is the Route 61 on Southern. And that in itself is pretty remarkable because that route only dates back to the late 90s. Another common measure that we use to evaluate transit service is boardings per mile. Here it's a little bit different. Light rail and Route 61 on Southern perform very well, as do the Route 96 on Dobson and the Route 112 on Country Club. And again, that's indicative of the corridors that have the highest frequency of service today. And really what this supports is the idea of increasing frequency in the highest density corridors in the region. So for example, the Route 96 was recently updated to 15-minute service when light rail opened. There's been a huge return on investment on that in terms of ridership and boardings per mile. So what I'm going to do today is walk you through each of the scenarios, and we're going to use the existing high-capacity transit network as the base for that discussion. When we developed each of the transit scenarios, we looked at essentially three different things. We looked at the high-capacity transit network as it functions today and as it's planned in the future. We did a transit propensity analysis, and essentially what that means is we looked at data for transit dependency. So we looked at low-income data or locations. We looked at areas where the population is under 18 or over 65. Those are factors that play into ridership. And the third thing that we're coordinating with John on is the land use and character areas. Obviously, there's a big return on investment in terms of ridership when you serve areas with higher density. There's also return on investment when you serve areas that essentially are in a scale that's appropriate to transit service. And there's no better example than that right now in Mesa than the project you're doing on Southern Avenue in the Fiesta District. You know, taking that road down to essentially a four-lane cross-section is really going to support what is your highest performing bus route in the city. So I'm going to walk you through each of these scenarios. The short-term option, essentially, this is the high-capacity transit network that we're assuming. Now, the short-term option essentially is 2018, and it's to correlate to the opening of the Gilbert Road light rail extension. So the colors on this map represent the different forms of high-capacity transit. The teal shows Metro Light Rail. The orange shows bus rapid transit. So in this scenario, light rail is extended east to Gilbert Road. The existing Main Street Link service that currently operates out of Sycamore will be moved to originate out of downtown Mesa with the Mesa Drive extension. And then with the Gilbert Road extension, it would originate at Gilbert Road. It would still continue to serve Superstition Springs. The other thing that we're looking at as a real opportunity is the Link service that currently operates on Country Club and Arizona Avenue. That service today only operates at a 25-minute frequency. Valley Metro is looking at these regional performance standards and measures, and ultimately the standard for that type of service will be 15 minutes. So essentially that service will need to be doubled. If it is going to be doubled, a real opportunity would actually to apply some of those trips to be on Dobson and Southern. One of the things, if you look at existing ridership in Mesa, you know, the highest performing north-south routes by far are Dobson, Alma School, and Country Club. By having a route that would originate at Sycamore, travel south on Dobson, east on Southern through the Fiesta District, would really allow you to capitalize on some of the emerging development there.
Question, Mr. Richens.
On this scenario, is trying to get a handle around where you're running bus rapid transit. Are you looping it back down along light rail, or is it just like, is the idea that you take it into the Sycamore station and then go back out?
For the line that's on Dobson, the idea for that would it would terminate at and originate from the Sycamore light rail station. So it would leave that station, go to Dobson, south to Southern, and then east on Southern.
Did you guys have the opportunity to make any consideration to link Riverview, the new Cubs Stadium, there's more employment is coming to that area. What was the considerations there about bus rapid transit?
Absolutely. It's actually it's shown on this next map. This map that shows here for the short-term network, all the routes you see here that are bolded, that essentially represents a new alignment or a new route or a new frequency increase. And one of the things that we looked at is the Route 96, which travels north on Dobson, there would be an opportunity to take it, connect to Riverview, and then interline, which is a term meaning joining with another bus route, the 62 in Tempe, which currently terminates at Tempe Marketplace. So with that simple route connection of less than a mile, you would connect these two routes that would then link essentially these two activity centers. Now, long term, if the ridership supports an increased investment in transit, it would be very possible to increase that BRT on Dobson to go north of Main Street and serve Riverview as you suggested. So to point out a couple other things in this scenario, there are two routes that today pose a challenge in Mesa. It's the 120 on Mesa Drive and the 128 on Stapley. Now, these routes will definitely increase in ridership as light rail is extended east. But one of the challenges of them is that they don't extend farther south into Gilbert. You know, the highest performing bus routes in the region are typically ones that, you know, travel over a long geographic area. Gilbert to date has not shown very much interest in the extension of either of those routes. So one suggestion that we've considered is actually turning those routes into a loop, essentially connecting them. And that would allow for increased circulation within the city of Mesa. The other notable changes in this scenario are substantially increasing frequency on the Route 136 on Gilbert Road. Undoubtedly, that corridor will see a lot more transit activity when light rail terminates at Gilbert Road. So now I'm going to walk you through the two midterm scenarios. And there's a couple key differences in these scenarios, and they predominantly relate to light rail. So again, we're kind of using this subway-looking map for high-capacity transit to frame the rest of the investment. So in the first midterm scenario, we're essentially taking light rail east from Gilbert Road to Power and Main. That's 6 miles. That's in the time frame allotted of that 10 to 20 years. That's about the most capital investment that probably could be completed in that time frame. It would also continue a corridor that's basically very productive today in terms of light rail service. It would also dovetail very well with the character areas that's being envisioned on Main Street as part of the general plan. With that, essentially that would mean that the BRT, that currently the link service that currently operates on Main and Power, that would be modified so that it just operates on Power Road. But as part of that, it would actually be able to operate south of Superstition Springs and connect with Gateway. And this is important because essentially what you have here is two very interconnecting corridors. You have east-west light rail service on Main, and then you'd have bus rapid transit on
Yes. Power. How would that interlink with the proposed ADOT intercity rail that...
We show that on the long-term scenarios because just the timing, we're thinking that it's beyond the 15-20, but that's a very good point. We'll get to that. So here's the rest of the midterm transit scenario. Now, essentially, what it does is it orients north-south bus service around the proposed light rail station locations. One of the big questions when light rail in this scenario is extended east of Gilbert Road is, do the stations continue at the 1 mile spacing that they're currently at in the city of Mesa? Here we show it at a 2 mile spacing, and we show north-south service intersecting with those station locations. The other thing that we do in this scenario is we extend east-west transit service beyond Power Road. Today, virtually everything ends roughly around Power Road. In this scenario, we show service going east to Ellsworth. There's a lot of utility in extending east-west service. These routes already exist. Oftentimes, these extensions can be made without the addition of or without more buses, and it's really just operating dollars. So here's the second midterm scenario. And again, the primary difference here is what happens with light rail at Gilbert Road. In this scenario, light rail could be extended south on Gilbert Road. And then there's been discussion of going east either in the US 60 right-of-way or on Southern. So what we show essentially here is, again, about the same distance, 6 miles, and it would terminate at the 60 at Greenfield. In this scenario, the Main Street link that currently would originate out of Gilbert Road would continue to function in the same manner. So with that, there are some subtle differences in how the network would be built. Essentially, what we want to look at here is actually north-south service on Greenfield, because that's actually where the light rail station would be. And we also continue to show service extending east of Power Road to Ellsworth. So now we're going to get into the long-term scenarios, and this is where things get really fuzzy because a lot depends on what happens with that ADOT passenger rail project. So they currently are down to three alternatives, two of which go through the city of Mesa. The third, the one that's not in city of Mesa, just essentially follows the I-10 alignment between Tucson and Phoenix. But the other two operate through the East Valley. The first of which is represented on this map in the green line. Essentially, what this is a passenger rail corridor that follows from Gateway, the Ellsworth alignment, up to the US 60, to the 101, and then to the 202. This alternative is something ADOT's looking at as an alternative that essentially functions in their own freeway right-of-way. And this has a big impact on how you would structure light rail service in the future. this would really reinforce Superstition Springs as the hub for transit service in the East Valley. And so in this scenario, if you recall, in the midterm, a light rail terminated at Power and Main. Here we would continue at South on Power to terminate Superstition Springs. That essentially would become a hub of transit service in the East Valley. You'd have light rail, intercity rail, and then the existing express bus service that operates out of the park and ride there that serves downtown Phoenix. With that network, this is the expansion of that into the full transit network. And one thing that's important to point out is how to serve Gateway in the future via transit. You know, today everything is oriented, obviously, on the west side of the airport, where the campus is, where the current terminal is. But the long-term plan, obviously, is the terminal on the other side of the airport, on the east side. And then there's also a lot of forecast population and employment growth on the east side. That's going to be a challenge from a transit perspective. And ultimately, wherever that hub is of service, let's say there's an intercity rail stop, that needs to be basically the transit distribution point. What we want to avoid is a situation like in Scottsdale, where the air park, which is, I believe, the third largest employment center in the region, but it's very difficult to serve from a transit perspective because everything's decentralized and cut off from each side of the airport. So kind of getting ahead of that and identifying a key multimodal hub around Gateway would be a good path to success. So here's the second high-capacity transit scenario the second long-term scenario for high-capacity transit. And what this shows is passenger rail not following the ADOT right-of-way, but instead using the Union Pacific Rail Corridor, the Phoenix Southeast Subdivision that currently exists today. So in this, essentially, passenger rail would cut through Gilbert, and then it would serve Mesa, historically, obviously, where previous passenger rail service would
be. Question, Councilmember Ritz?
Yes.
Did you say two of the three scenarios that are being proposed by or being evaluated by ADOT run this corridor?
Two of the three run through the East Valley and Mesa. I'll toggle back here. One of which is this green line on this map, which follows Ellsworth and the 60 right away. And then the second is this map, the green line that follows the Union Pacific right away.
Okay. And then the other one goes across the Gila River,
yes,
Indian Nation, along I-10.
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly. And there are major challenges, obviously, with each of those. But it's really important to consider that, you know, while that's an intercity rail project, it's very likely that that would set the framework for regional commuter rail as well. So in this scenario, we're following, it's almost kind of turning back the clock of how passenger service used to operate in Mesa. It follows the traditional railway line. And in this scenario, we show light rail coming down Gilbert Road and going the 60 east to Superstition Springs via the right-of-way. And the reason we show it in this scenario is because there's no passenger rail in that corridor. That right-of-way then could be used for light rail. So that's a key trade-off between these long-term scenarios is, you know, what happens in the 60 right-of-way? Does it get used for passenger rail, light rail, or neither?
Quick question. Didn't they plan ahead on that 60 corridor to have some sort of, rail type of activity?
There's some, ADOT has some surplus right away, so to speak, on the north side. It primarily functions as a drainage channel today. There are some challenges in certain areas. So, for example, the Superstition Springs park and ride that exists today is actually built within that right away. But yes, there is a consistent right away that could be used on the north side of the freeway. The challenge, though, is with any sort of passenger rail or light rail alternative is what happens at each of those interchanges. Basically, you have to go under or over. So here's the map that supports that long-term transit network where passenger rail is on the Union Pacific rail line. And essentially, what this does is the real difference between these is when passenger rail stays on the 60, it doesn't serve the core of Mesa. I mean, it goes through in a freeway right away. This alternative, it actually would serve the core, and there would be a real opportunity to kind of better link downtown Mesa and the Fiesta District with kind of this increased link BRT service and the light rail extensions. So that's a general overview of the scenarios. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer.
Questions?
I just got to say how impressed I am that you rocked through a 28-slide presentation that efficiently. Well done.
Wonderful. So next step from here?
The next step is we're going to take these scenarios out as part of the general plan outreach in the next couple weeks. And then we'll start doing the technical analysis and the modeling, and then start putting together the implementation plan for this to finalize the updates.
What would be some of the external drivers on these routes? You know, is it Town of Gilbert? Is it ADOT? Is it, you know, who are the people that kind of will help also shape that? It's not Mesa's decision to make alone, really, so.
External drivers on, like, the passenger rail?
Yeah, you know, because it seems like the passenger rail and the and the future route of light rail are the two big.
Right. ADOT is doing, ADOT is actually getting ready. They in the next, probably, I think, at the end of October, November, and December, to start doing a lot of more public involvement and outreach on those three scenarios. I think they're going to be at the art fair in December here at the Art Center. And then they've been meeting frequently with city staff from Mesa and some of the other communities to really see so that they can narrow down and put that in and see where the different cities sit on the options.
Yeah, and then for light rail and high-capacity trains in general, you know, obviously those are regional decisions if in fact, that's where the local funding comes from. But the cities are always the drivers, obviously, in route and alignment. So, I mean, I think that any future light rail extension beyond Gilbert Road obviously needs to serve the forecasted needs are for the city of Mesa.
And I hope when you're talking about commuter rail, if there's opportunities for leadership or involvement, you know, I'm really excited about the prospects of that and have been for years when we first heard about it, and it seemed like such a pie-in-the-sky effort. But as you look with Gateway and Gilbert and some of the opportunities, you know, those two routes are actually pretty exciting. And those of us that travel and go around the country, I mean, these are, you know, just standard ways of doing things in other parts of the country. So I'm hoping we look for that opportunity and really serving that Gateway area.
Sure. So, and just for everyone's information, the MAG did a study a few years ago on commuter rail and the corridor, the Phoenix Southeast Subdivision, so that cuts through Mesa, that was rated the highest performing corridor in the region. So it would be, if and when there is commuter rail, it would be the first to go.
Okay, wonderful. Well, thank you. If no other questions, we appreciate the information. Thanks for the presentation. Okay, our next looks like we're acknowledging receipt of minutes in various boards and committees. I have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, hear reports on meetings or conferences attended. Councilmember Cavanaugh.
Thank you, Vice Mayor. It's been a busy week. On Saturday, you and Mr. Glover and I attended the GAIN kickoff event at the East Valley Institute of Technology, and we had a great crowd of Neighborhood Watch leaders there. I wanted to commend everyone who put that event on. This year, our GAIN event will be on November 2nd, and we're within the time period for the Neighborhood Watch groups to be signing up for their block parties, and so I hope they will do that. There was a lot of enthusiasm there for the great work that Neighborhood Watch does. On Tuesday night in District 3, we had a very successful BSN, Building Stronger Neighborhood, initiative at Porter School. This was for the Ranch West neighborhood, which is a newly registered neighborhood in the city, and we had a great turnout for that. And I wanted to thank Neighborhood Services and all the city's agencies and nonprofits who supported us. We had a special new guest in District 3, a new restaurant that will be opening November 8th called Raising Cane. That is, you might have seen it if you travel around the country. And they were quite a hit at the event. So I think that restaurant on Stapley and Baseline will do very well. And last night, I represented City of Mesa at the Family Self-Sufficiency Graduation Program. And as many of you know, this is a program that this is an alliance between Tempe, Scottsdale, Chandler, and Mesa, working with individuals to help them become economically self-sufficient, improve their job situations, get them set up to be able to be homeowners. It's a program that's supported by the United States Department of Housing and Urban Development. And I wanted to, again, congratulate those residents who have graduated this year. Right now we have 72 individuals enrolled in that program, and we've had a lot of great success stories throughout the years. And I want to again congratulate Donna Hunter in particular, who heads up works heads that program really within our community. And so it was a great event.
Wonderful. Thank you. Mr. Councilmember Summers.
Mayor, last week I was, Vice Mayor, last week I was in the Savannah, Georgia for National League of Cities meetings for public safety and crime prevention. We were just preparing our final materials for our November meeting in Seattle. Big thing that came out of it is trying to get the National League of Cities on board with raising awareness of the dangers of distracted driving, particularly, well, texting and trying to drive at the same time. So that's where I was.
Oh, excellent. Anybody else? Yes, Councilmember
yes.
Luna.
I'm very proud to announce that Councilman Kavanaugh and Glover attended the ThinkSpot inauguration, which was held over at the Red Mountain Library. And I would invite everyone to go and visit the location. It's a great place for anyone that wants to be innovative, wants to be a producer, wants to do some 3D modeling, and wants to produce some great videos and also do some interactive exchange with a smart board. So nice. It was a great event, and I thank all the staff that was involved in that.
Excellent. Exciting stuff. Okay. Scheduling of meetings and information.
Thank you, Vice Mayor. Just a reminder, we'll have a study session on Monday, and we'll also be having our regular council meeting.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Okay. Motion to adjourn. We have a motion and second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.